Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I knew that would get your attention. That's Seal's version of Steve Miller's 1976 version of Fly Like an Eagle. Great song, isn't it? I've been thinking about eagles. Actually, God impressed upon my heart to look into the scriptures about what the Bible has to say about eagles. I had planned a different series that I'll do in a couple weeks, but I just couldn't get past this notion of really diving into what the Bible has to say about eagles. You know, the Bible uses animals and imagery of animals in beautiful ways. I mean, you have the imagery of the lion and the laying down with the lamb, and Jesus talks about the sparrows of the air, and actually in today's lectionary reading in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talks about dogs. You know, and so animals play a prominent part in the scriptures, the imagery of animals, and the eagle, of course. Well, let's just face it, eagles are cool, right? I mean, eagles are really, really cool. I've got this statue of an eagle that I keep, and I thought I'd bring it to church today. They're just beautiful. They're majestic creatures. They're called the king of the air, the fathers of the birds of prey. And so the Eagles are not just a professional football team out of Philadelphia, right? Any Eagles fans here today? Oh, okay, we'll forgive you for that. And they're not just an American rock band. Any Eagles fans here? There you go. All right. And long before the bald eagle became the national bird for the United States, in the Bible, the eagle stands as a strong and encouraging image of trust and security and hope in Almighty God. Why is that? Well, eagles are known for their speed, their strength. Did you know a golden eagle can lift prey up to twice its own size? They represent security and also care for their young. And so I just felt really impressed to kind of do a little study on the significance of eagles in the Bible. So we're going to go back into Deuteronomy. Now, I took a 3-week preaching break, but before then, if you were with us, you know that I spent 5 weeks already in Deuteronomy. And I kind of went a little back and forth with God, and I said, God, I was just in Deuteronomy for 5 weeks. You want me to go back into Deuteronomy? And he said, yes. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if you're getting sick and tired of Deuteronomy, I apologize for that. But this passage here, these verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, especially verses 10, 11, and 13, when we get into it, bring tears to my eyes. Because this is a beautiful portrait of who God is and how he cares and loves for his people. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning at verse 9, and if you're using these blue pew Bibles in front of you, it's page 323. Pull it up on your phone, whatever you do. But look at Deuteronomy 32. This is a song, a poem of Moses that he's reciting to his people, reminding them of just how far they have come, just what God has done for them, how good God is. Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the heights of the land and fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag. Oh God, this imagery here that the scriptures give us of an eagle that does its thing and watches over her young and protects them and provides for them and nourishes them is a beautiful picture of who you are in relation to us, your people. This imagery is beautiful, it's magnificent. And once again, you point us to creation to look for signs and symbols of your great love and care for us. And my prayer is that we will leave church today with a greater sense of appreciation of your vast love and care for us. So if you would enlarge our capacity to understand this, God, it would be very much appreciated. Because every single person in this room and every person in our community and every person in our world needs to know that their Creator God loves them immensely. And all God's people said, Amen. Look at verse 9, Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. This is basically saying that God loves his people. That his people are God's portion. His people are God's pride and joy. Later on we read that they are the apple of his eye. This is God's way of saying his love for his people is vast. And I just feel today that I need to remind you that God loves you. He cares for you. Far greater than any of us or even all of us collectively will understand. The love that God has for us is beyond our comprehension and beyond our understanding. But the reality is God deeply loves his people. I love that saying that I see every so often that if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. God loves you with an incredible love. The issue is, however, that most people on the receiving end of love do not really fully understand just how much they are loved. I think, for example, when I was a little child, I knew my parents loved me. I knew they cared for me. I knew they fed me and clothed me and housed me and put up with me. But when you're a child, you just simply cannot comprehend just how much your parents do love you. And it's not until you get older and you have time to reflect and think back, do you begin to understand the immensity of the love that my parents had for me. Most students sitting in their classrooms don't understand just how much their teachers love and appreciate them. You don't become a teacher for the big bucks. You don't. You go into teaching because you love the discipline of teaching and you love imparting knowledge and life skills to your students. You love seeing these young minds grow and flourish. Most people go into teaching because they truly love what they do and they love their students. And I would venture to say, at least I remember when I was a kid in school, I had no clue how much my teachers invested in me and loved me and appreciated me. Most Americans have no clue, for example, just how much our founding fathers loved this nation. We really don't. The sacrifice, the blood, the sweat, the tears. That's why I continually hammer home this notion that we've got to know our beginnings as a nation, because our founding fathers truly loved what was happening here. And they literally gave of themselves to form this nation. And I could give you example after example after example that most people on the receiving end of love truly don't understand just how much they are loved. And I would venture to say that that's true with us as God's people. We just don't know the vast extent of just how much God loves us. And so when we read here in verse 9 that the Lord's portion is his people, he's beaming with pride and joy. These are my people. Yeah, they have issues and yeah, they have flaws, and most certainly they're not perfect, but they're still the Lord's people. And he loves us and he cherishes us and he considers us his inheritance. Verse 10. In a desert land, he found him. And so what Moses is doing here is using imagery of God's people as a man who was found hopeless in a dry, dusty desert. Of course, there's inferences back to God's people being held in captivity in Egypt during the Exodus. But this imagery here is very telling. In a desert land, he found him. In a barren and howling waste. This is the condition that God finds his people in. This is the condition that God finds us in a desert, barren, dry, hungry, thirsty, lacking, needy, broken, hurting. And so what does God do? He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on his pinions. Verse 13. He made him ride on the heights of the land and fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag. Let me tell you, if you reflect on those three verses as I have all week, that will bring tears to your eyes. The condition that God finds his people in, the condition that God finds us in, is in a desert, hurting, broken, helpless, hopeless. And what does God do? He nurtures his people back to health. He cares and loves and restores his people. I have known people who take great pride in finding injured animals, maybe on the side of the road, or maybe you've had a bird in your yard unable to fly, and you have that gift of being able to nurse that bird or that injured animal back to health. I have great admiration for people who can nurse a hurting, broken animal back to health. Those who go into the veterinarian field love animals, and they have that loving, caring, compassionate nature to just restore health to an animal that has been injured or hurting in some way. A few weeks ago, actually less than 2 weeks ago, my normal routine in the morning, I get up, have a cup of coffee, and I turn on the Today Show. I try to stay up to date with what's happening on the news. But they did a story on this exact same thing that I'm talking about. And I want to show you this video because it so moved me and just touched my heart deeply. It's only 4 minutes long, but I want you to watch this video that so beautifully portrays here what the scriptures are saying.
With every chirp, nibble, and wing flap,
big stretch,
these little ones are one step closer to going home. And as good as the food may be at the Appalachian Wildlife Refuge in North Carolina, it's just a pit stop for these animals.
I've always been an animal lover.
Savannah Trantham and her staff, along with volunteers, run a 24/7 operation to care for local wildlife.
98% probably of the patients that we receive come in because of something from human-caused issues.
Are you seeing with each year that passes an increasing number of animals?
Yes. There's more construction in the area, which is all wonderful, but it includes more and more people interacting with wildlife, and they're coming into contact and they're getting injured.
Oh my gosh. Meat crash.
In just 5 short years, the Rehabilitation Center has saved more than 6,000 animals, many rescued from backyards and public parks, from baby bunnies displaced by lawn mowing to lost ducklings looking for mom.
All right, it's time to go for a swim.
Like our week-old friend here, who was found trying to cross a busy highway. A good Samaritan called the Wildlife Refuge's emergency hotline, and the center's rescue team saved the brave duckling.
So what do you do in this kind of situation with an orphan?
Just setting them up in situations where they can practice the things that they instinctively know how to do.
Some situations are much more urgent. While we were here, the Wildlife Refuge got a call about a baby hawk stranded and unable to fly. The rescue team hit the road.
Yeah, I got him.
Once back at the rehab center, the bird went straight to the exam room.
Oh, I'm just seeing a little bit of contraction there. That's great. Yeah.
While the baby hawk rests, the team works on a young snake who was found tangled and trapped in netting.
This is all pretty gnarly. We just want to be really, really careful that we don't injure the snake any further.
Wow, look at all that swelling. You can see the snake almost coming back to life.
To see them start feeling that relief and kind of feeling like a snake again, that immediately starts putting in that positive feeling of what we're doing.
It's all thanks to caring community members who knew to call for help. And this facility is just one of many across the country helping to save wildlife. There are more than 3,000 licensed rehabilitators nationwide, according to Animal Health Now. And the most common animals needing care, birds and small mammals, like rabbits.
Just how good does it feel when you get to see that animal back into the wild?
It's something that's almost indescribable. Maybe we're not saving a whole population, but we have made a big difference for that one animal.
And lucky for me, I got to help two bunnies hop to it.
All right, let's see them off. Is it ever difficult to see the animals off, to say goodbye?
No, because that's why they come in, is to put them back in the wild. That's why we're here every day. Happy day.
Well, you can tell I just had the absolute best time with all of the animals. Crash, the teenage snapping turtle, I have to say, was a personal favorite of mine. After surviving a gunshot wound, she's now a permanent resident at the refuge. And check out, we have visuals of our duckling friend who has now doubled in size. As
well
as the snake, he couldn't be doing better. Those wounds are almost completely healed as well. Both of them are set to be released at the end of next month. But it was really cool to see the process. Like, you don't know all the energy that goes into that sort of thing and all of the resources at our fingertips.
So if you're
you're in your town, you see something like that, how do you find these people that can do the rehabilitation?
There are local rehabilitators, but you can also just rely on a national resource like the National Animal Rehabilitators Association. They'll give you a step-by-step process like, okay, is the animal injured or should you be making a call? Because first priorities, you need to maintain your own safety
as well.
That's
good.
Yeah, that's
good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Thank you, Anne. Yeah.
I think that is the coolest thing ever. How neat is that? That there are people who devote their lives to restoring and saving animals, helpless animals who've been injured or are hurting in some way. I just think that is the coolest thing ever. And I've known people who have that gift, who can bring health to a creature that's hurting. I read this passage here in Deuteronomy 32. And that's what God does for us. God finds us barren in the desert, hurting, lonely, wounded, helpless, broken. And what God does, He restores us back to health. He helps us get our wings. He helps us get on our feet. He helps restore us. He helps make us whole again. When we talk about the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of salvation is not just this notion of being made right with God in a legal and judicial sense, although there is an aspect of that, to be sure. But there is an aspect of being saved in which God comes in and restores us back to health. When the Bible talks about, you know, sinners who need to be saved, and most of the time, those passages of, you know, getting right with God and all that, most of the time, those verses are talking to people like me, the religious people of the day who knew better and were living corrupt lives. But this notion of God restoring back to health people who are broken is a different aspect of salvation altogether, especially for people who don't know any better. And I got to tell you, we live in a community of people who don't know any better. And they're hurting, and they're broken. And what God wants to do in and through us, and in and through the church, by His Spirit, is He wants to restore broken, hurting people and make them whole and well again. And I've got to believe that maybe there are some of us here today who find ourselves in this desert state. That we're broken and we're wounded and we're hurting. And it's not that we're living in blatant sin. And it's not that we need to repent of some horrible wrongdoing. It's that we need God's loving, tender care to come and lift us up out of the hurt and the pain that we're in, and bring healing and restoration. And I want you to know that's the heart of God. That's who God is. This passage here in Deuteronomy 32 is the Old Testament equivalent of the sermon we heard last week from Pastor Crystal. And if you were here last Sunday, you heard a magnificent sermon from St. Crystal of Corvallis, who is on the track toward becoming ordained. She preached to us a magnificent message in the parable of the Samaritan. And let me just give you a recap of this story that Jesus told. The man who was traveling to Jericho was beaten, and the scriptures say he was left for dead, broken, hurting, helpless, was about to die. And two others passed him by. The religious people passed him by. But the Samaritan, what did the Samaritan do? Came and did exactly what we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Came and bandaged this hurting person. Sought to bring healing and restoration to his broken body. Put him up for the night. And sought to help bring healing and wholeness. I believe there are some of us here today who are hurting. And we need to be reminded of God's restorative power to make us whole, to make us well. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 12. This is an important verse for us. Deuteronomy 32, verse 12. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him. You see, God alone is the one who can do this. God alone is the one who can bring healing and restoration and hold us to our broken bodies and our hurting souls. God alone is the one who can do this. So why do we go looking to other places that cannot bring the healing that only God can provide? I guarantee you, when a little kid is running and falls and scrapes their knee on the asphalt, there's only one person that can comfort that child, and that's mama, right? When we are hurting and broken and we're all scraped up, there's only one who can bring about the healing, the holistic healing that our bodies, souls, minds, and hearts need, and that is God Himself. Now, God can use other resources, and He does. His Spirit, the church, godly people, godly care, godly counsel. But it is God who is the impetus for the healing that we need. No other God was with him. The Lord alone led him. The good news of the gospel is God loves us with an immense love that he is willing and able to help heal and restore our brokenness. We need to be rescued and restored. And that's what God is all about. If you find yourself in this state, you find yourself wandering in the desert, metaphorically. You find yourself hurting, broken, confused, alienated, whatever it may be. This beautiful imagery that Scripture depicts for us is the picture of a God who comes in like a strong, powerful eagle and will restore his people. Look to God today. Look to His Spirit. Seek the counsel of godly people. God is not here to smite us with condemnation and judgment. He wants to restore us back to health.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.